Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Ben and Woods back at it here. We got to move quickly. Coming up after our check of traffic, our spotlight interview, Gwen and Chris had a chance yesterday. Good extended conversation with Ted Lyon. You don't really have short conversations with Uncle Teddy, let's be honest about that, after the big news last week. Moving upstairs into the front office of the Padres as an ambassador, ending his 40-plus year run as the play-by-play voice of the Padres. You'll hear that coming up here right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. Here's Kelly Danick.
We're getting reports of an accident on the southbound 5 before Palm Avenue. Looks like those vehicles are over to the right shoulder. Some very windy conditions today, guys, so watch out for some debris in the roadway, various parts of the county. They get the high wind advisory from Alpine to Imperial County, so keep that in mind. High-profile vehicles not recommended out that stretch. I'm Kelly Danick with Ben and Woods, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It is an honor to bring on our next guest. Ted Leitner joins us here on Gwen and Chris. Theodore!
Keith Jr., how the heck are you? Chris, what's up?
We are doing well. You have all of San Diego in the palm of your hand right now after your announcement last week that after 41 years you have decided to hang it up.
It's been, I don't know what the analogy is, and I hate to, having followed the news about Don, make this particular comparison, but it's like, in a way, but in a good way, you've attended your own funeral, at least professionally, and got to hear all these wonderful, wonderful tweets and texts and emails and voicemails from people in baseball around the country and, more importantly, in San Diego, and saying all these wonderful things. Because, you know, when it's too late and you're holding your breath with dirt on your face, it's you know, you can't hear those things they say. So it really, it was amazing to me, first of all, that there was that kind of reaction. Because I always said this, I was no Jerry Coleman ever in terms of popularity. Nobody ever will be from a broadcast standpoint with the Padres. He's the guy. I always said that he was the voice of the Padres. I was a voice of the Padres. And the idea of hearing all these wonderful, wonderful things, which I was saying when Jerry passed, that they were now saying about me and I was still alive to hear it, was a gift, an absolute wonderful, wonderful gift. And since you were talking about Don Sutton, there was no one in broadcasting that I was closer to than Don. And he was amazing. And this relationship started when he pitched. And I got to know him then and got to see him all the time when the Braves came here and I went to Atlanta. And I loved Don Sutton without any question.
Ted, you know, you mentioned it in several of the things you said last week, but when you first started out as voice of the Padres, you thought, a couple years, 3 years tops. Then I got to figure out what I'm going to do next. Here we are 4 decades later. I know you, and having gotten the chance to know you, you never took it for granted. You kind of pinched yourself the entire time you were doing this thing.
And that's a good thing. That really is a good thing, because Jesse and I have always discussed that if you get to the point of, I just met Willie Mays, or I just saw Willie Mays the other day when we were in San Francisco, and if you start to take that for granted – and it does not become a pinch me moment, then you need to get the hell out. Because I don't care. There's a little boy in each of us and a little girl in each of us in terms of whoever their hero happens to be. In many cases, with girls and women, it is baseball stars and sports stars. So there's no difference between the sexes. These are people we worship as kids. And then because of my business, I got to meet Mickey Mantle. I got to meet Willie Mays. I got to meet and be close friends with Duke Snyder. My family's from Brooklyn, and I'm, you know, calling Duke, and he's calling me, and he's coming up in the booth to listen and be there for a game. That doesn't happen normally to the kids who were great baseball fans growing up, no matter what city they were from. So you're right, to give this and have this happen to me, and then, you know, get to work with the guy I used to watch play second base on Channel 11 because we didn't have money to buy tickets and my dad wouldn't take us, that I would watch this guy on Channel 11 at second base, Jerry Coleman, and think, wow, good player, really quick, really fast, and on those great teams. And then I'm working with him for 35 years. I mean, that's a pinch me moment based on who he is, who he was, who he knows, who he played with and against. Every day was a trip to Cooperstown with this guy. So it just, there are so many, this voluminous compilation of blessings and gifts that I got, that, Chris, there's no way I took 1 second of it for granted. And that's the truth.
Ted, let me ask you this, because I've said a lot over the past 4 or 5 days how you've shaped at least the voice in my head as I was a young kid playing baseball in the house. Give me one of your favorite Tony Gwynn calls that you've made over his career. What was one of your favorites?
Well, Yankee Stadium. Yankee Stadium, 1998. And when I look back at it, because I really got into a habit of anything was semi-close because I didn't want the fans to be disappointed and give it that. It's gone, or it's going foul. So I kind of hedged in between that with one of those, you know, when if it's fair, it's gone. And the truth of the matter is that when I looked at the replay, it wasn't really that close to going foul. It was close to going in the bleeping upper deck, for God's sake. So when I look back at that call, I don't love the call, but I love calling it. And that was like when he ran out to right field and put his hands on his knees and he looked up in the sky. And you and I both know he was talking about looking to his dad or talking to his dad. As in, I'm on right field. We just started the game one of the World Series, Dad. Your grandfather, Charles, and a good friend of mine. So with that, and probably of all the incredible calls and 5-hit games and you name it, and I did not call, Jerry did, the 3,000th hit, it would have to be the home run, Tony, in Yankee Stadium. It was so wonderful.
Uncle Teddy is with us here on Gwynn and Chris. Ted, I'd like to know if you consciously thought of a way to do this or if this was just a gift you had. But I always felt, you say, what's the strongest, you know, thing you can say about Ted Leitner's broadcasting? And to me, it was your ability to talk to each and every one of us as if you were talking to each and every one of us. It never felt like you were talking to a group of people.
It
felt like you were talking to me driving in my car. Hey, Chris, there's a base hit to left field. Hey, Chris, there's an out. There's a strikeout. I don't know how you did that. I felt that when I worked next to you practically doing the San Diego State games. It felt like you were still talking to me, even though I was, you know, trying to do the game with you. You had the amazing ability to connect with your audience, and that's why I think you could say you were Uncle Teddy to everybody, because everybody felt like they knew you. Not a lot of broadcasters can do that. A lot of guys announce the game to everybody, and we pick up the broadcast. Did you do anything in particular, or was this just something that you were blessed with, maybe?
That happened, and I'm fascinated that you brought that up, because that started to happen. Not so much from an audio standpoint on radio. It happened on television sports at Channel 8, where, you know, people used to teleprompter readers, or more importantly before that, before teleprompters, in fact, looking down, up, down, up, down, up. And so because I ad-libbed all my sportscasts and knew what the highlights were comprised of, and they would go to them, and I would ad-lib those also. That's not an ad-lib. I've never seen them. You only ad-lib when you're prepared. You get a lot of stuff in your mind, and you're ad-libbing, sure, but you better have a lot of knowledge that you just read or looked at in terms of the highlights for that night's sportscast. And the people in the research, the marketing research at Channel 8 would say, my God, it looks like he's talking right to me. It wasn't my gift. It wasn't anything special about me. It was that everybody, for the most part, literally in the country, had always, including the news people, up, down, up, down, up, down, and not, you know, straight at them like on the teleprompter, but they could tell I wasn't using the teleprompter based on, you know, the rhythm of my voice and the conversational tone. And that was what people kept saying, that It's like he's talking right to me, or he's smiling right at me, and I don't even care about sports, and I like that so much that I watch him, though I don't know what the hell happens in sports, and I don't care. And that's the first I heard that, and I was incredibly – it wasn't so much, you know, patting myself on the back. I was amazed by it more than I was, you know, proud of it, because it was nothing that I planned to do. Because in my life, Chris, anything I planned to do, I screwed up. That's my brain. That's so true. If I could give you another hour of haranguing on you, that everything I try to do, I always tell my older brother, he's a psychologist and PhD, why did you get all the brains? Why did you get all the mathematical stuff in your brain for finance and all that stuff? And he's a multimillionaire. I don't know. But anything I planned, it was much better to just let it be, let it go. I never planned any of that stuff on television that happened. And a lot of that stuff, obviously, you're doing a ball game. It's all spontaneous. Yeah. And I know many times I told stories that I thought were interesting, were funny. And I know a good portion of the audience and many executives all the way back to Ray Kroc, they don't like that style. They don't like that style. But it's nothing I planned. Nothing I planned. The only part of that story thing was that, as a radio programmer, I thought, you know, let's face it, I had a lot of bad teams and not many winning teams and some bad baseball. So I got to figure, as a radio programmer, I want to keep them entertained. If I can make them laugh, and I'm no comedian, but if I think it's funny, maybe they will. If I think this story is awesome, maybe they will. And I never missed a pitch. I never missed a play while I was telling the story. I would weave it between the story and the action on the field. But when people don't like the stories, they get the perception that you're ignoring the game.
Right, right.
That always bothered me. It's one of the only things that bothered me. But that story thing, as I always say, if I was doing the Red Sox, the Yankees, and whatever, the Dodgers over these years, I wouldn't have told that many stories, because it's more of a baseball product. And if I was, and that last 2 years with the Padres, I cut that story thing way down, because, hey, you got great baseball out there, and that takes precedence over anybody's story. So all that other stuff, it's what I did was what I did. And even the story thing, I didn't plan it, but I, in the back of my mind, thinking, hey, it's 9-1 Giants in the third. I want people to stay tuned. Whether I was wrong or not, I don't know. But none of that, Chris, was ever – I'm not smart enough to plan stuff. I'm really not.
Theodore Leitner joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Ted, you hit on it a little bit, and I kind of want you to elaborate a little bit, because I'm sure because you had so many teams that weren't interesting, they weren't very good.
Bad.
Did you feel that pressure or burden to try to keep people listening? Because I said it the other day, for a long time, you were a good portion of the reason why people tuned in to listen to the Padres, because God knows that the product on the field wasn't as good, wasn't good enough.
Great question, T. Great question. And that's part of what I was thinking when I look back at it. Not at the time so much, but you do. It's like dead air. You know what I mean?
Right.
You just can't stop talking. And it's like I said, it's 12-1 Dodgers in the third inning. Then you do press. You do think, I'm a radio programmer. I owe this to the Padres. I owe this to the radio station to make it fun, to make it interesting. And one of the greatest letters I ever had was from the late, great Buzzy Bavasi, who had been, you know, the original Padre president, general manager of the Brooklyn Dodgers, and so forth, and with the Angels. And Buzzy was a good friend of mine all the way till his death at 90. And I got a letter from Buzzy saying, you know, Ted, your team ain't that much, I got to tell you. But I listen all the time. Even this was the best part of it. Even when I stop at the garage in my car, and I'll stay tuned to hear what the end of your story, or hear what you're going to say, or make me laugh. And that was one of the greatest letters that maybe I shouldn't have gotten, because it confirmed to me that, yeah, you do feel that it's a burden on you. Hey, they're not going to keep listening. It's an lopsided score on many of these bad teams. So I really did feel so great that a straight old-time baseball lifer like Buzzy Bavasi would say that to me, and I've kept that letter. One of the few I ever kept was the letter from Buzzy and a letter from a blind man, a sightless man who said, I can't be there. You're my eyes at the ballpark, and the way you describe it, I can see where everybody is and what's happening. And those are the two letters that I cherish to this day.
Ted Leitner is with us. We cherished your work for 41 years, certainly in San Diego. You're our Uncle Teddy, and you are an institution, and not just a sports one, because you transcended sports, and that's amazing also in its own self. I wanted to take a second. I know we got to let you go. We could sit here and talk forever. But I actually looked up the date today, because this has driven me crazy now for 8.5 years. But I text you in Reno, Nevada. And the Aztecs were down 1 point in double overtime, and Rocky Long went for a 2-point conversion to steal the game.
And the tight end.
And Dingwell threw the ball to the tight end, and your stupid right. color announcer went bat bleep crazy and stepped all over your call. One of the worst announcing mistakes I've ever made in my life. To this day, 8.5 years, I'm giving my official apology, even though I've apologized on the air 100 times. Anyway, I want to thank you for letting me work with you for 4 or 5 years and sharing the booth with me. That was unbelievable thrill every single game, and we had a great time. And I know I'm only one of like hundreds of your color commentators, but to be one of them is really something I cherish, and I wanted to thank you and give you that apology for the Dingwell blow it move, because that was really pathetic on my part.
You know, and don't feel bad. Don't feel bad. Apology accepted. It wasn't that big a deal. Happened one time. Whoop-de-doo. Tim Flannery did the very same thing on a play at the plate, the bottom of the Padres trying to score the winning run, and he yelled, ah! And it covered my call, and it bothers me, because the audience, you know, they're not there. 99.9% of them, they didn't know what happened. This was the winning run, which happened to score and not be thrown out of the plate on a bang-bang play. And Plan looked at me, look, he just swallowed his gum, as in, uh-oh, I pissed off Uncle Teddy big time. This is bad. And we laughed about it later, and that's the same old thing. It's the same thing with my partners. As I mentioned in that letter to the UT, in the UT to the fans, my partners, it's been a joke how great they've been in all sports, where we've never had, and Chris, you can attest to that. Did we ever have an argument?
Nope.
Did we ever look at each other with it? What the hell was that comment for? Or, and we did a talk, and you know, having been there, and all those guys in baseball will tell you the same thing, and the other football guys. I've had guys that we've always had fun. We always had an accurate broadcast. It was never schlocky, and I'm so proud of that, and that's because of your partners, because you make them look better, and they try to make you look better. And so I say that literally to you, Chris, and everybody else. I loved my partners, and none of that stuff ever led, like I said, to any kind of feuds or anything. And it's starting out with, like I said, with Dave Campbell and Bob Chandler, and then Jerry when he came back off the field in baseball, and all those other guys in the other sports. I just, like I said, there's always been somebody to help me, to teach me something in baseball, football, basketball, every game. And it's just been, what a life, what a ride.
Ted, before I let you get out of here, I need to say my piece before, because I stepped into the booth 3 years ago, and you've welcomed me with open arms. When I have stepped all over a call like Chris did, you're the first person to tell me, hey, no big deal. It's going to happen. And you really made it a comfortable transition for me. For that, I am very grateful to you. And among other things, it's been awesome to listen to you my entire life. Literally my entire life.
What he really wants,
Anthony,
to say,
let me tell you something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you done?
Yes,
I'm done.
I'm stepping on.
I didn't want to interfere. I didn't want to stop. But you sent me that text this week after the Zoom call, and basically said those things. And Tony Jr. said to me how he'd be in the house running around like he's playing baseball and listening to my broadcast. And growing up with that voice, that's a baseball connection that literally only baseball has to that degree, from generation to generation. And I thank you for saying that, Tony. And you know my relationship with you, with Anisha, with your mom, with your dad, has been a tremendous individual part of my career. After he had passed, and we had a television show with myself and Dick Enberg and your mom and Mark Grant, and it was all about Tony Gwynn, of course. And in the middle of my first answer that the moderator asked me, your mom interrupted and said, I don't want to interrupt, Ted, but you do know that my husband loved you. And that may have been a great moment in my life as a broadcaster, as was the home run in Yankee Stadium. And I what I did the other day, and I didn't mean to be morbid, but it's such a huge part. There's no bigger part of my life than Trevor Hoffman closing professionally in baseball and your dad and getting to watch those games as a game within the game for 20 years. And so I went back and I watched a bunch of the YouTubes on the greatest hits of Tony Gwynn and the five hit games of Tony Gwynn and winning the All-Star scoring, that winning run of the All-Star game on Moises's base hit. And it was just, instead of being down about having leaving the Padres and knowing I'm going to miss them, but I've had so many great moments, and your dad is right there up there with Trevor having done that. And I'll be honest with you, at the same time, in tears, but happy, smiling with tears, kind of a strange combination, I watched the YouTube of when you came to home plate after his funeral and returned to the Phillies. And the standing ovation in that ballpark with you at home plate is something I will never forget, and I will cherish, as I know you do, the rest of my life. So talking to a Gwynn, and the same thing I get in comments, as I'll get out of here and not put you guys so late and far behind, that I get from people all the time. When I took over from Jerry, when Jerry was cut way back, and then when he passed away, they would tell me, it's your job to carry on for Jerry, to carry on. It was Jerry and Ted, now it's your job. And the comments I get now that Jerry would have been proud of how you carried on. Okay. And I say to you going in the booth, as I say to Jesse, you know, you're going to make us proud. And there could not be any better combination than you and Jesse to do that and follow as I follow Jerry, for you to follow me. And I'm looking forward to it, A. And I know you're going to knock them dead, because, I mean, between Jesse and you and your connection to this city, it's going to be awesome.
Theodore, we love you, man. And those shoes you left behind are way too big for Jesse and I to fill, but we certainly are going to put our best foot forward. Ted Leitner, take care, and we'll catch up soon.
We'll see you soon, Ted.
Chris, thank you so much.
The great Ted Leitner with Gwynn and Chris yesterday. Spotlight interview this morning on Ben and Woods. And hopefully we can get all back together so we get to see Teddy in person. I would love to just stand there and chat like we did that one time. And
so great.
He just can regale you with such tales of what he's seen and so many years. It is incredible.
You guys should hear the stories that he can't tell on the air. Those are even better, my friend, than the ones that he actually can tell.
There is a couple. This hour of Ben and Woods brought to you by Nature Valley. Feel the rush of a chilly morning. Embrace the possibility of the perfect snack and taste the crunch from 100% whole grain oats. Stay outside longer with Nature Valley Oats and Honey Crunchy Granola Bars. We are better outside.
No nut butter on those.
Those are nut butter free.
Yeah.
We have some breaking news involving a former San Diego athlete. Paulie Anderson. In the Rattle Report next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.